Brother Newton will bring us the Lord through it.
Yeah. I love that old chorus. We don't sing it so often. It says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I'll be the mark of a Christian who loves the Lord and who follows the Lord. He said the Lord becomes more and more precious. He comes into a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to make your life tremendously glorious. You know, the more you get to know the Lord, you'll not be the same. I think many people, they just know the doctrine. And that's why they're so dry sometimes. And I look at them and I interact with them, many of God's people. There's such a dryness. It ought not to be. The more you get to know the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the more you taste the divine life, your life will be so fantastic, so glorious. And may the Lord help us to get to know Him better and better. I like that Sunday school song. I love Him better every day. Close my sight, I will abide. I love Him better every day. I want to read a verse from John chapter 15. Yeah, I'm not so keen to preach a message this morning, brothers and sisters. I just want to share something that's come home to my own heart. And Jesus said here, I am the true vine. You know, Jesus used many expressions. Like you say, metaphors. He said, I'm the true shepherd. He said, I'm the light. And here He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it that it may bear more fruit. And in this chapter, Jesus used one word again and again and again. See verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. See, that word abide comes again and again and again. You know, when Jesus repeats a word, that means that's very important. And again, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Again, you see this verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And here we can see the heart of Jesus. And I want to tell you some good news this morning, brothers and sisters. Every time we come together, we are supposed to share the gospel. The gospel means good news. And you know the good news I want to share with you this morning? Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit are mightily interested in you. Do you believe that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
And not only that, Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, they are mightily interested that you and I bear fruit. You should jump up and shout, amen. That excites me more. That the entire Trinity is working all things, all circumstances, all situations, so that you and I, in cooperation with the Lord, bring forth much fruit. You know, in Christendom they use many unscriptural phrases. And because most God's people don't know God's word, we just swallow everything that is preached, especially if it comes from the West. You know, one of the common statements in Christendom, we are saved to save others. Have you heard that? You ask them, where do you find it in scripture? There's no scripture. But here Jesus says, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Why has the Lord chosen you, brothers and sisters? Why has the Lord appointed you? What a strong word. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Oh, I wish I can communicate that to your heart this morning. That should bring joy to your heart. That the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, they are interested in you and me. And He works in us that we should bring forth fruit. And that's not enough. More fruit. And that's not enough. And that the fruit should remain. That's really encouraged me. I've not heard many people tell me that. That the whole Trinity is interested in our fruit bearing. And what is fruit, brothers and sisters? What is the fruit that the Lord wants us to bear? It's not the ministry primarily. Now, usually when we think of fruit, people think of ministry. How many people have you brought to the Lord? How many churches you established? How many people are coming to your church? And that's not what the Lord is talking about. He is talking about character. God's great longing is to give us character. Unfortunately, most of God's people, they say, Lord, give me more money. I'm happy, Lord. They say, that's a sign of God's blessing. That is not the sign of God's blessing we have heard here for many years. What is the sign of God's blessing, brothers and sisters? That your life will become fruitful. Oh, and not only that, if you want your life to be fruitful, the Lord said, abide in me, I in you. In other words, the Lord is saying, have a close relationship with me. You know, many people come to the meetings, but that's not a sign of close relationship with the Lord. Some people say, brother, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and read the word. Praise the Lord, brother. But I don't find them bearing fruit much either. Some people say, oh, I'm praying and fasting. Wonderful. But you have to test it. Are you bearing fruit? If you're bearing fruit, there's a secret. With all those who have borne fruit for the Lord. And we must listen to Jesus. And here we find, you know, Jesus saying, the Father. Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. I don't know how in the world people believe that once you're saved forever. Here the Lord says, if you're not bearing fruit, the Lord, Father Himself takes away. And still people believe such crazy doctrines. And Father does one more thing. Every branch that bears fruit, Father prunes. Father is very much interested in our bearing fruit, and so He prunes us. I've not been a farmer. I've grown up in the city. But you know, the farmers, they take great care about their crops. I see, I don't have much of a garden. I got a small garden, but every time I see some flowers coming forth, that thrills my heart. And I'm sure when the Lord sees the children bringing forth fruit, it thrills His heart. And I've seen also in my small garden, sometimes I see flowers coming up, then I see there are insects that are trying to eat the plant. And then you got to deal with that. Remove the insects and cut off the branches that have been affected. And that's what the Lord does for us. Oh, He watches over us day and night. Just like all the mothers, how they take care of the children, even when they're sick. And the Lord, He has His eye on you, brother and sister. And if you're bearing fruit, He's happy and He wants to make you bear more fruit. And how He's going to do that? By pruning you. Yeah, cutting out things that are hindering you from not bearing more fruit. And we don't have to dictate to the Father how He's going to prune you and me. Leave that to the Father, to His wisdom. How to prune you, maybe through some disappointments, maybe through some frustrations, maybe through some failures, maybe through some hardships, maybe through some difficult relationships. Father will prune you, a loving Father, a good Father who is interested in your bearing fruit. I hope we say, Lord, prune me. And then Jesus also, He wants to communicate His life. That's what blessed my heart this morning. The Lord is not just interested in giving money, not just interested in giving us a house, and He's not just interested in giving us a partner, and He's not just interested in giving us some many other blessings. He wants to communicate His own life, His own character, His own spirit to us. What a wonderful Jesus that we have. And I wish that you get to know Him better this morning, brothers and sisters. And the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus used the word, even in the same chapter, verse 26. But when the Comforters come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, you shall testify of me. We have the Holy Spirit, a helper, a comforter, a guide, a teacher, to help you and me, so that we can bear fruit. That's really encouraged my heart. Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're all working together in unison so that you and I can bear fruit. And let that be the foundation for our life this morning, that we have such a good Father, such a good Savior, not just to somehow get you to heaven, brothers and sisters, but He wants to give you a character before you leave this earth. And maybe say, Father, work in me. Lord Jesus, work in me. Holy Spirit of God, work in me. Please don't leave me alone. And then it says here, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn. I look at some people, I can make out this dryness there, this staleness, there's no life there. And they're cast forth, it says. And not only that, men gather them, it says, and cast them into the fire. That's the mark of a person who has not allowed the Lord to work in him, and his life is a waste. But then, Jesus is talking much about a man, not about a man, about a person who gives himself to the Lord. See, if you abide in me and I in you, something happens, brothers and sisters, when we have a close walk with the Lord, when you submit yourself to the Lord, when you surrender yourself to the Lord, and say, Lord, here I am, work in me, Lord, fulfill your good pleasure in me, Lord. Do anything you want, Lord. Like we sing in the song, break me, Lord. Crush me, Lord. Melt me, Lord. Mold me, Lord. That's the mark of a man who's yielding himself to the Lord. And he won't be dry. He'll have a connection with the Lord. I like to see brothers and sisters who've got a connection with the Lord. And I must say, that's one of our great longings here in the church. We want to get people connected to the Lord. And when you're connected to the Lord, there'll be life, an abundant life. Like we say, you know, the mark of a Christian, there'll be vibrancy. Or a little more scientific word, you say there'll be buoyancy. You know, there's something about a Christian. He's got something. Like we sing the song, I got something that the world can't give. And that is the connection with the Lord. And I must say, brothers and sisters, that's the greatest thing on earth, to have a living connection with Jesus. Not just a doctrine, not just coming to meeting, to know that Jesus lives in me and I in Him. And we want to be closer and closer to each other. Like we sing that song, the Lord and I, we walk so close. It's not enough to come to the church. Say, Lord, I want to walk close to you, Lord. And how can we walk close to the Lord? And how can I abide in Jesus? And here he says, for example, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue or abide in my love. And you know, in chapter 16, verse 27, John 16:7 says, for the Father himself loves you, because you loved me, and I believe that I came out from God. You know how we can abide in Jesus, brothers and sisters? Believe the Father's love. God so loved me. Put your name there, not just the world. God so loved me. Think long and meditate long on it, so that it sinks into your heart. I heard one person say that that person studied about God's love for 6 months till it sank into that person's heart. Father loves me. And Jesus loves me. I like this Sunday school song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Happy the Lord wants us to be. So convinced of His love, that we dwell in His love, abide in His love, and don't doubt His love, like we often heard about John 17:23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and you have loved them as thou hast loved me. And I believe, brothers and sisters, all insecurity comes because we doubt God's love. You know, we think, oh, I don't think the Father loves me so much. I don't think Jesus loves me so much. And as long as we doubt His love, I don't believe we are abiding in His love. Father has already loved us. Jesus has already loved us 2,000 years before. And He has demonstrated His love. You can't earn that love. Just receive and believe and dwell and abide in His love and rejoice in His love. That's not so difficult, brothers and sisters. You know? That's why in this church, we never preach that you get up and pray in the morning at 4 o'clock every day. That's up to you. You want to do it, that's fine. But we never put such huge burdens on people. And the Lord also doesn't put burdens on us. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. And what is that yoke? Abide in my love, the Lord says. Just keep on rejoicing in His love. Irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of the weather, irrespective of how people treat you, no matter what happens, just rejoice in the love of the Father. Rejoice in the love of Jesus. Like Paul could say, who can separate me from the love of Christ? And I believe that should be our goal. Lord, nothing is going to separate me from your love. Nothing means nothing. No matter what happens, that's not going to separate me from Jesus. Then we can say you are close to the Lord. Lord, may the Lord work in you, brothers and sisters. And may you cooperate with the Lord. And may you abide in His love day and night. Not only 24/7, 365 days till the Lord comes. Abide in His love. Okay. And then Jesus also said, in same chapter, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. That's the burden of the heart of Jesus, that we who are His branches should abide in love for one another. Not only that we love the Lord, we also learn to love one another. And I don't know, that's not so exciting for many people. Everybody thinks they're loving the Lord because we can't see the Lord. But the problem comes when we see the brothers and sisters, then we are tested. Do you love the brothers and sisters? That's the question, brothers and sisters. And to abide in that love. So many people say, oh, I want to be committed to this church. I want to break bread, brother. I like to ask them, do you love the brothers and sisters here? Are you abiding in love? That's the challenge that comes to us. First we abide in God's love. Then we abide in love for one another. That means because we receive the love from the Father, from Jesus, through that love, we learn to love the others. Forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Be patient and patient and long-suffering and gentle and kind. I said, if any man has a quarrel, has the Lord forgiven you? Forgive! Happy the Lord's longing to see a church where they forgive like that, where they love one another. And it's not saying anything about music. Most people are worried about music. How's the music, brother, in your church? That's, we can draw the young people through music. You never start to draw people here through music. If you're drawn through Jesus, through His love, and if you're drawn to the brothers and sisters, because they're disciples of Jesus, and that you want to love them, I want to say this morning, welcome, brother, to the church. And learn to love fervently. He says, above all things, have fervent love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, how much interest you got in loving the brothers and sisters? You say, oh, they got many weaknesses, brother. They got many faults and failures. Still we love. And love and love. And abide in love and dwell in love. And we are rooted and grounded in love. And I want to say this morning, that's not burdensome again. You know, in 1 John, John used some strong expressions. We know that we are, verse 14, 1 John 3:14, we know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Many people are so much worried, brother, I must break bread. They think if you don't break bread, you'll die spiritually. I want to say this morning, if you don't break bread, you'll not die spiritually. But if you don't love, you'll die spiritually. And 1 John 2:10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That means when you learn to love the brothers and sisters, you're not going to stumble. Have you heard the good news, brothers and sisters? But as it says, verse 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whether he goes where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Oh, we want to walk in the light. Cleanse ourselves from all darkness, all unloving attitudes. Learn to abide in love of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Learn to love the other brothers and sisters who are disciples of Jesus. And then we move on. There's one more abiding. That is verse 7, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, see, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The Lord wants His words to abide in us. We not only love the Lord and love others, we let His words take deep root in us. How do you know you're a disciple of Jesus? That you love to keep His words. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Can you see that it's so clear? Abide in the love of the Father, abide in the love of the brothers, abide in God's commandments. Is it difficult, brothers and sisters? This is not complicated. It's not sophisticated. Very, very simple. Even uneducated people can understand. And when you abide in the Lord, something happens. You know, 1 John again, chapter 3, verse 9. I like this expression John uses. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And that's what the Lord wants to give us, his seed. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. And one more lovely expression, 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abides in him sinneth not. You know, when you come into a relationship with the Lord, when the life of Jesus comes through you, nobody has to tell you, oh brother, don't go there, don't see that, don't read that. You don't need an elder to come and watch over you. What are you seeing in your private life? The Holy Spirit will show you, hey, that's not good for you. Turn away from that. Flee from that. Don't read that book. That same life of Jesus will teach you and help you not to sin. And I want to say this morning, that's not a burden. And we come back to John 15. You know, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Verse 5. People ask you, who are you? We say, oh, I'm a doctor. I'm an engineer. I'm a professor. I'm a businessman. I'm so and so. You know, in Christian life, as you walk with the Lord, people ask you, who are you? You know what you say? Hello? I'm a branch. I'm just a branch. I'm not a senior branch. I'm not a special branch. I'm just a branch. And I believe this is a mark of humility, mark of a true Christian. He admits, I'm just a nobody. I'm really nothing. It's the Lord that communicates his life to me. It's the Father. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm just nothing. You know, there's no acting here. You don't have to act humble, brothers and sisters. I've got some good news for you. Just abide in the Lord, in his love, and in his word. And, you know, one more great lesson we got to learn. Some people are trying, and trying hard. Yes, I must get up at 4 o'clock. You know, Jesus said, you are weary. Some people are struggling. And life becomes difficult for them. And the Lord says, all your weary, come to me. My yoke is easy. Learn from me, he says. Follow me. Listen to me. Abide in me. You cannot manage it. Says here, verse 5. For without me or apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what revelation we need this morning? No matter, even if you get up at 2 o'clock, you cannot bear fruit yourself. Every day, 365 days, you get up at 2 o'clock and read the Bible and pray. Don't spoil your health. You cannot manage to bear fruit yourself, no matter how hard you try. Is the Lord working in you through his Holy Spirit? Father working in you, Jesus working in you, and you yield, you say, Lord, work in me, Lord, and let the Lord work in you. And say, Lord, I don't understand your ways, please teach me, Lord, what it means to abide in you more. Reveal it to me, Lord, like the Lord told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. And I believe we need a revelation this morning. what it means to abide in Jesus, which is not a burden. Is Christian life becoming a burden for you, brother and sister? Listen to the Lord. Abide in me, the Lord says. And when you abide in the Lord, and the Lord abides in you, and when He works in you, He will work in you much faster than you are trying to do yourself. And you know, when the Lord works quietly, silently, you see the fruit coming forth. You know, in Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, John the Baptist said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. If you have really repented and turned to the Lord, you should be bringing forth fruit. That's the sign of repentance, that you're not the same what you were. And then Romans chapter 6. I love this word. Verse 22 is my favorite verse. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. You know what the fruit you're going to bring now? Holiness, sanctification. I'm set apart for the Lord. I don't belong to this world. And I'm not living in sin consciously. Fruit unto holiness. What is the third fruit you're going to bring? You know, it's here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. You know, when you walk with the Lord, when you abide in the Lord, your speech life is not going to be the same. You know, like we have often heard here, when you have a sickness, you go to the doctor, you know what the doctor says? Open your mouth. And the doctor can make out you got some sickness. And I see the same. Many times when I see the brothers and sisters, they open their mouth, and I see the words they come forth. I know they're not in touch with the Lord. If you are walking with the Lord and abiding with the Lord, how can such stinking words come forth? It just can't come. There's something wrong. A good man of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what's good. You know, when you're connected to the Lord, like it says in Colossians chapter 4 verse, we know that verse very well. He has used it very often. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How do I know that brothers and sisters are not dry when they open their mouth? Good words, anointed words, blessed words. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, this is the privilege of everyone, not just of full-time workers. You can abide with the Lord. Your speech can be, there can be a fruit of your lips, giving thanks, only thanks, and praise, and gracious words come forth from your mouth. That means, every time you open your mouth, it's blessed. Don't you want to be like that? Not just in the meeting, not just in the pulpit, wherever you are. There's a fountain of good words coming forth. And I want to say this morning, what a blessed fruit that you can bring forth, not in eternity, here on earth. And then in Luke chapter 8, I don't want to go into that. You know, the Lord spoke about bringing forth fruit 30%, 60%, 100%. You know, when you let God's word work in you, it brings forth fruit. And you don't have to be a barren brother, sister. You don't have to be just 30% kind of a Christian. Not even 60. Why not? Bear more fruit. And then in John 12:24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth fruit. You know why we don't bring forth much fruit? That self is pretty strong. Oh, through many situations, God seeks to bring to death ourselves. Oh, we don't like it. That's why you see sometimes how people say, I must give the last word. How they react, how they retaliate. Their self is very strong. The mark of a man, crucified man, he knows to keep his mouth shut. He knows to keep quiet. And I wish we had all the sisters crucified. so that their lips, only good, gracious words can come forth. Okay. And then, the favorite expression we have in Galatians 5, 22. I want to move on. Time is up. You know, Galatians is a wonderful chapter. And verse 5, 16, he said, walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit fight. And then verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You know, God seeks to raise up a generation of brothers and sisters who can say, I don't walk after the flesh. I don't know how is it with everyone here. I don't know how is it in your private life. But I believe we should have brothers who can say, I've learned to walk in the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. And if you do that, says verse 22, there will be the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will have worked in you. Love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Joy. You know, Jesus said in this connection, coming back to John 15, you know, verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I like that expression. Same joy Jesus had, my joy. And in another place he said, peace I give unto you. Same peace that Jesus had. You know, no matter what happens to you in your daily circumstances, you can remain in peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, many things happen to our life, in our lives that can at least tempt us to lose our rest. But you know, when the Spirit works in you, you learn to be at rest all the time. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And then, this long suffering or patience, you learn to be more and more and more patient, gentle, goodness, it says, faithfulness and meekness, patience, gentleness, and meekness. Is that your longing, brothers and sisters? Lord, I want more patience, more meekness, more gentleness. And then, self-control. Lord, I want that more. And he said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections, like verse 24. And then, chapter 6, verse 8, he that sows to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Genesis chapter 49, in the Old Testament also we see how we read about Joseph. Genesis 49 verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over a wall. Instead of Joseph, can you put your name there this morning? Hello, brothers and sisters. Can you put your name there? Say, Lord, by faith, I trust you this morning. Put your name there. And Genesis 41, verse 52. Genesis 41, 52. It's a blessed verse. For God, verse 52, has caused me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. I wish I can make all of you repeat that verse. Shall we say that? For God has caused me to be fruitful. Can you say it by faith? That's how I'm going to live in the days to come. Trusting the Lord. He will make me a fruitful bough. And he will cause me to be fruitful in the land of affliction. And just a word for all the sisters, since we have many sisters also. Sometimes you sisters think that I don't have any ministry. All the brothers and sisters, they are preaching all the time. Sorry, only the brothers are preaching all the time. Now the sisters, Psalm 128 verse 3 is a verse for all the wives. All the wives, are you awake this morning? Even if you are not a wife, for all the sisters, including the mother-in-laws. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. I praise the Lord for this verse. And Colossians 1:10, it says, being fruitful in every good work. I hope this morning you're gripped by God's heart. Lord, He wants you to bear fruit. But you got to abide in His love. You got to abide in love for one another. You got to abide in His word. And you got to let the Lord work in you. And He will make you fruitful. Not after 24 years. Can you say from today? That is faith. You know, not because you get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. Not because you're reading the word and listening to all the messages and trying so hard. No, brothers and sisters. It's like it says, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your struggling and striving. By abiding in Jesus. Oh, I wish I can hear many testimonies this morning and say, I want to abide in Jesus. He's going to make me fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is going to come from my life. Like it says, what God told Abraham, from your bowels, Isaac will come forth. Some of us are producing Ishmael. See, Lord, here it is. The Lord says, no, that's not the one. That's your quiet time in the morning. I'm not against quiet time, by the way. Do you think that's fruit, bringing forth fruit? No. It's the life of Jesus. It's the same Spirit of Christ that will come forth from you. The Spirit of purity, the Spirit of faithfulness, the Spirit of humility. You know another mark of fruitfulness? Shall I close with that? How do you know your fruit is not Isaac? What is that? Ishmael. Shall I tell you? You will never boast. If it is Ishmael, say, Lord, I manufactured it. It's me, Lord. I worked hard and I got Ishmael. But you know when the Lord works in you, you will never boast and you don't have to struggle. Say, Lord, it's not me. It's just you, Lord. And you will give all the glory to the Lord. And there will not be a trace of false humility, hypocrisy, acting. No strain, brothers and sisters. Life of Jesus coming through. Flowing through you. Not only for life, even for ministry. Some people say, oh brother, it's so difficult to preach. It's so difficult to minister. I get scared. I get nervous. The more you abide in the Lord, brothers and sisters, it's not going to be a strain. Say, Lord, I like that expression. Flow through me, Lord. Work in me, Lord. Put your words in my mouth, Lord. What a blessed brother and sister you will become. What a blessed church you will become if you say, Lord, I want to abide in me. Teach me to abide in me. And I'm not giving you a formula this morning. Go home and say, Lord, reveal to me what it means to abide in you. And that's the only thing I want. I want fruit at any cost, Lord. Fruit that will remain. And it says here, by this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And then it says, so prove to be my disciples. Brothers and sisters, many are upset with us because we're not putting your name in the telephone list. I want to ask you this morning, can you prove that you're a disciple? When you bear fruit, you will prove. Whether your name is in the telephone list or not, don't worry. Are you proving to be a disciple? May we bring joy to God's heart this morning. Shall we close eyes and say, dear Father, we praise you, Lord, this morning. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, thank you are at work in us to do your will and your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord, you don't give us heavy commandments, Lord, that we can't bear. Thank you, Lord, you said your yoke is easy. And thank you, Lord, that you will cause us to be fruitful, Lord. And when you do a work in us, Lord, that we shall never boast, Lord, neither in life nor in ministry. And we pray that you'll cause it to go well with everyone here. And you'll cause your people, especially, Lord, especially those who are committed to you, to bear fruit and much fruit. And that our fruit will remain, Lord. You be glorified this morning in and through our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, the sacred of what we heard this morning, I hope it comes to your heart as it came to mine, what we read in John chapter 15, at the end of that verse, in verse 5. We really want to abide in the Lord like we heard, and to constantly abide. You know what it is? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do some things, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I want to bear fruit in my life, if I want to really abide, you know, I can go from here and think, now I'm going to abide in Jesus. And then I do my own thing. Not work. Jesus said, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And oh, it takes a long time for us to recognize that, my brothers and sisters, that apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing. And if we are following Jesus, you know, in John chapter 5, if we are really following the Jesus of the Bible, the true Jesus, you know, he said, Jesus didn't say something that he didn't live to. When he was a man on this earth, he says there, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I've thought of that word many times. It comes to me from sometimes. I wish I can be reminded more and more that I can do nothing on my own initiative. We do many things on our own initiative, and particularly in the words we speak. There's a word in the Psalms, and the psalmist says, he said, set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I prayed that prayer a few times. Because it's there that, you know, we do our own initiative. We speak on our own initiative. We don't see that I need the Lord's help there. Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And that's where I see that there's a lot of things I do without Jesus' help. And to bring us to this place, my brothers and sisters, if we want to really bear fruit and for our fruit to remain, that I see I can do nothing on my own initiative. That I see that without Jesus, I can do nothing. And the mark of that, listen carefully, I will seek desperately for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you and I, we have in our flesh all that it takes for us to do our own thing. And the only thing that can put a restraint on that is the Holy Spirit. And so if I really want to bear fruit, that's where I will go. Lord, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And every day when I get up from my bed, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I have a day before me. Now we do a lot of things on our own initiative. We do a lot of things without seeing that we need help. I'm not talking about, you know, I was reminded when I say this about when I was in full-time Christian work, there was a colleague of mine. He never, you know, he would stop. Even before getting into an auto, he'd stop and pray. Poor auto driver has to wait there. And before opening the door of the office, he'll pray, we all have to wait and he'll pray too before he opens the door of the office. I'm not talking, that's ridiculous. It's an attitude, it's how we live. Constantly abiding, we like to sing that song now. Constantly abiding, where I see that I can do nothing on my own initiative, that without Jesus I can do nothing. Therefore I need the Holy Spirit. That is one clear mark. That I really don't want to do anything on my own initiative. I will seek Him for the baptism. If you've never been baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit, it would be a desperate cry from your heart. But if you're casual about it, that means, you know, you think there are some things I need His help. Some things I can't do on my own initiative. You're going for an interview, you need a job, you need a life partner. Oh yeah, I can't do this on my own initiative. But a whole lot of other things. Particularly the words we speak and how we handle situations. Oh yeah, I know how to handle this. I've handled this before. And I think of how somebody else handled it and all these things. I really believe, my brothers and sisters, what we heard, it would just be pie in the sky if I don't really desperately seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. Then I will bear fruit. Because I'll always be reminded, you can't handle this on your own. You can't speak just the way you want to speak. That's how Jesus lived. That's why he said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. May God bring us to that place. And like I said, the only way is that I would seek Him for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say to some of us who have been so casual, that even when you asked, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And you know, I've asked a few times. There are others who say, yeah, I've asked, nothing has happened. There are others who say, yeah, no, I'm asking. Cannot we come to that place, Lord, I don't want to do anything on my own initiative. Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. I can't bear fruit. My fruit will not remain. And whatever fruit I think I bear, it will not remain. It will spoil. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me. Immerse me in the Holy Spirit in fire. And when I get up from my bed every morning, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I've got a day before me. I just don't want to do my own thing. I want to live this day to glorify you. Let that be a cry from our heart, my brothers and sisters. Then I believe we will have no problem abiding. Constantly we will abide, because that's where the Holy Spirit will constantly lead us. And I don't do my own thing, and I don't do anything on my own initiative. It's a life that God calls us. Don't think that's not possible. It is possible. And I began to taste that. A lot of things, I still got to go a long way. A lot of things I do on my own initiative. Many times the Lord said, there's no need to have said that. If you don't listen to that, then I will go on speaking as I like. It says in another psalm, my lips are my own. I can speak just the way I want. But if I can come to that place that, you know, it says, James says, if a man can discipline the way he speaks, he hold his tongue, he can discipline his whole body. So I can come to that place where I don't speak my own thing and live a life where I can do nothing on my own initiative. Let's really seek the Lord for that. Let's sing that song, Constantly Abiding. Come, brothers. Jesus is mine, constantly abiding, rapture divine. And the other thing, I hope you listened as Brother Newton spoke, that Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you. At the end of that passage, that your joy may be made full. These things, you know, turn to it before we sing. John 15. There's a reason. He said, these things, verse 11, I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And in John 16, he says, no one can take your joy away from you. What a life God calls us to, where we constantly abide. And he says, I've spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you. And joy is not a feeling. I want to say that again. If we go by feelings, joy is not a feeling. It's an attitude. It's how I live. That whatever happens, no one should be able to take my joy away from me. Because I depend on the Holy Spirit. Like we heard in the beginning, the whole Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, is working to bring you and me to this place where we constantly abide. So let's sing. Let's stand up and sing. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. A peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come there to stay. And together with that peace, we can also read joy. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine.